Chapter 32. The Joy of Liberal Giving. In his first letter to the Corinthian believers, Paul gave instruction regarding the support of God's work. He inquired, "Who serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard without eating any of its fruit? Who tends a flock without getting some of the milk? For it is written in the law of Moses, 'You shall not muzzle an ox when it is treading out the grain.' Is it for oxen that God is concerned? Does he not speak entirely for our sake? It was written for our sake, because the plowman should plow in hope, and the thresher thresh in hope of a share in the crop." The apostle further inquired, "Do you not know that those who are employed in the temple service get their food from the temple, and those who serve at the altar share in the sacrificial offerings? In the same way, the Lord commanded that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel." 1 Corinthians 9, verse 7-10, 13, 14, RSV. The priests who ministered in the temple were supported by their brethren to whom they ministered spiritual blessings. They that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law. Hebrews 7, verse 5. The tribe of Levi was chosen by the Lord for the priesthood. See Deuteronomy 18, verse 5. 1/10 of all the increase was claimed by the Lord as his own, and to withhold the tithe was regarded by him as robbery. Paul referred to this plan for the support of the ministry when he said, "Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. The laborer is worthy of his reward." 1 Timothy 5, verse 18. Payment of the tithe was but a part of God's plan for the support of his service. The people were taught to cherish a spirit of liberality. Numerous gifts and offerings were specified. At the harvest and the vintage, the first fruits of the field were consecrated to the Lord. The gleanings and the corners of the field were reserved for the poor. The first fruits of the wool when the sheep were shorn, and of the grain when the wheat was threshed, were set apart for God. So also were the firstborn of all animals, and a redemption price was paid for the firstborn son. Thus the people were reminded that God was the proprietor of their fields, flocks, and herds. It was he who sent the sunshine and the rain that ripened the harvest. They were but stewards of his goods. Should followers of Christ give less? The liberality required of the Hebrews was largely to benefit their own nation. Today, Christ has laid upon his followers the responsibility of giving the glad tidings of salvation to the world. Our obligations are much greater than were those of ancient Israel. As God's work extends, calls for help will come more frequently. Christians should heed the command, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house." Malachi 3, verse 10. If professing Christians would faithfully bring to God their tithes and offerings, there would be no occasion to resort to fairs, lotteries, or parties of pleasure to secure funds. For the gratification of appetite, personal adornment, or the embellishment of their homes, many church members do not hesitate to spend extravagantly. But when asked to give to the Lord's treasury, they demur and dole out a sum far smaller than they often spend for needless indulgence. They manifest no real love for Christ's service, no earnest interest in the salvation of souls. The Christian life of such ones is a dwarfed, sickly existence. He whose heart is aglow with the love of Christ will regard it as a pleasure to aid in the advancement of the highest, holiest work committed to man, presenting to the world the riches of truth. The spirit of liberality is the spirit of heaven. This spirit finds its highest manifestation in Christ's sacrifice on the cross. The Father gave his only begotten Son, and Christ gave himself, that man might be saved. The cross of Calvary should appeal to the benevolence of every follower of the Savior. The principle there illustrated is to give, give. The spirit of selfishness is the spirit of Satan. The principle illustrated in the lives of worldlings is to get, get. But the fruit of their sowing is misery and death. Blessings in gratitude. Offerings. Not only should God's children render the Lord the portion that belongs to Him, they should bring also a gratitude offering, the first fruits of their bounties, their choicest possessions, their best and holiest service. Thus they will gain rich blessings. God will make their souls like a watered garden. And the sheaves that they are enabled to bring to the Master will be the recompense of their unselfish use of the talents lent them. God's chosen messengers should never be compelled to serve at their own charges, unaided by the hearty support of their brethren. It is the part of church members to deal liberally with those who lay aside secular employment that they may give themselves to the ministry. When God's ministers are encouraged, His cause is greatly advanced. The displeasure of God is kindled against those who allow consecrated workers to suffer for the necessities of life. These selfish ones will be called to render an account for their misuse of money and the depression brought on His faithful servants. Those who at the call of duty give up all to engage in God's service should receive wages sufficient to support themselves and their families. In secular labor, workmen can earn good wages. Is not the work of leading souls to Christ of more importance than any ordinary business? Are not those who faithfully engage in this work entitled to ample remuneration? A solemn responsibility rests on ministers to keep before the churches the needs of the cause of God and to educate them to be liberal. When the churches fail to give, not only does the work of the Lord suffer, but the blessing that should come to believers is withheld. Why the gifts of the poor are valuable. Even the very poor should bring their offerings to God. They are to be sharers of the grace of Christ by helping those whose need is more pressing than their own. The poor man's gift, the fruit of self-denial, comes up before God as fragrant incense. And every act of self-sacrifice allies him more closely to the one who was rich, yet for our sakes became poor. Christ called the attention of the disciples to the widow who cast two mites, all her living, Mark 12, verse 44, into the treasury. He esteemed her gift of more value than the large offerings of those whose alms did not call for self-denial. The widow had deprived herself of even the necessities of life, trusting God to supply her needs. This poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. Verse 43. The value of the gift is estimated not by the amount, but by the proportion that is given, and the motive that actuates the giver. The Apostle Paul said, "Remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.' He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." Acts 20, verse 35. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6, 7. Nearly all the Macedonian believers were poor in this world's goods, but they gladly gave for the support of the gospel. The liberality of the converts in Macedonia was held up as an example to other churches. In a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of liberality on their part. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 2, RSV. Moved by the Spirit of God, they first gave their own selves to the Lord. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 5. Then they were willing to give freely of their means for the support of the gospel. It was not necessary to urge them. Rather, they rejoiced in the privilege of denying themselves even necessary things in order to supply the needs of others. When Paul sent Titus to Corinth to strengthen the believers there, in a personal letter, he added his own appeal. Now, as you excel in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you excel in this gracious work also. And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that you may always have enough of everything and may provide in abundance for every good work. You will be enriched in every way for great generosity, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 7, 9, 8-11, RSV. Unselfish liberality threw the early church into a transport of joy. The believers knew that their efforts were helping to send the gospel to those in darkness. Their benevolence testified that they had not received the grace of God in vain. In the eyes of believers and unbelievers, such liberality was a miracle of grace. Spiritual prosperity is closely bound up with Christian liberality. As the followers of Christ give to the Lord, they have the assurance that their treasure is going before them to the heavenly courts. Would you make your property secure? Place it in the hands that bear the marks of the crucifixion. Would you enjoy your substance? Use it to bless the needy. Would you increase your possessions? Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Proverbs 3, verse 9, 10. Seek to retain possessions for selfish purposes, and it will be to eternal loss. But treasure given to God bears his inscription. One man gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give, and only suffers want. Proverbs 11, verse 24, RSV. The sower multiplies his seed by casting it away, so those who are faithful in imparting God's gifts increase their blessings. See Luke 6, verse 38.